Welcome to the program. Today we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 1. Have your Bible ready if you can. Thessalonians chapter 5 verse number 1 says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." Now, in order to get this in its context, we'll read the previous verses here because they go together. Chapter 4 verse 13 through 18, Paul said, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words."
Jesus is coming to earth again. What if it were today? Coming in power and love to reign, what if it were today? Coming to claim his chosen bride, all the redeemed and purified, over this whole earth scattered wide. What if it were today? Glory, glory, joy to my heart will bring. Glory, glory, when we shall crown him king. Glory, glory, haste to prepare the way. Find us here if he should come today, watching in gladness and not in fear, if he should come today. Signs of his coming multiply, morning light breaks in eastern sky. Watch, for the time is drawing nigh. What if it were today? Glory, glory, joy to my heart will bring. Glory, glory, when we shall crown him king.
Concerning Jesus coming back again, Paul wrote to these people at Thessalonica, and he said in verse 1 of chapter 5, "But of the times And the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Now, they understood. To understand something takes a little bit of effort. In fact, it takes a lot of effort. Would you trust a pilot who just went and listened on a Sunday morning for an hour on how to fly an airplane? And he went every 7 days and he listened how to fly an airplane. And then he got on. No, if he's going to be a pilot, it's going to take a lot of effort. And if we're going to understand the things of the Word of God, it's going to take a lot of effort. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, way back in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 20 through 21, we read, "But blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons." The times and the seasons. It goes on to say, "He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding." Now, it's interesting that when the disciples asked Jesus in Acts chapter 1 and verse 6 about the kingdom, they said in verse 6, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power." Now, back in Daniel was told to seal up the prophecies. People were not to understand it back then. And then the disciples, right after the crucifixion, and Jesus was heading back to heaven, and he was talking with those disciples, and he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." But we read in verse number 1 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." And this was what is called progressive revelation. These disciples who were with Jesus in Acts chapter 1, no, he said, "You don't need to know this. Just go do what I told you to do." But now, he said, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." It's interesting when we talk about times in the Bible. The Bible in Acts 17 and 30 talks about the times of the Gentiles. Luke 21, 24, the times of refreshing. Acts 3, 21, the times of restitutions. And then Ephesians 1 and 10, the fullness of times. Very important. Now you could study those things. You may have to turn the TV off for a while and get rid of some of that trash that you're taking into your life and get into the Bible. And you can study Acts chapter 17 and 30 about the times of the Gentiles and the fullness of times and all these other ones. Yeah, study to show yourself approved. Workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, there's very little of that going on, even among our so-called fundamentalists today. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 5 says, "A wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment." And then in verse 6, he said, "Because to every purpose there is a time and a judgment." Paul said to Timothy back in 2 Timothy 3, 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times will come." Perilous means hard to do. Well, but of the seasons, of the times and the seasons, brethren, he said to these Thessalonians, "Ye have no need that I write unto you." Well, back in Psalm chapter 2, 1 and 3, 1 through 3 says, "Why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision." Now, we're living in that age, in the times, the perilous times that it's talking about in 2 Timothy 3, 1, when they rage. Now, the kings of the earth, those in authority, they counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. They reject God, they rebel against God, and then they rage. A rage is an aggressive behavior. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Well, Isaiah 1:9 talks about a remnant, and it says there, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been a Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. And Paul said in Romans 11:5, even so then at this present time there is a remnant. Now, if we look into the world, we can say one word that'll describe what's going on in these last days. That is anarchy. We look into our churches, and one word will describe what is basically going on there, and that is apostasy. But when it comes to the remnant, what we need to be concerned about is apathy. Apathy is simply a lack of interest or enthusiasm or concern about what is going on. Now, the preaching that we have in the Bible, it's aimed at the remnant. If you look at the first four chapters of this book here, written to the Thessalonians here in 1 Thessalonians, we'll see they were very good living Christians. They were a great example, the Bible says. But all these messages are preached to them. 1 Thessalonians 2:11 says, we charge every one of you, 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you. 1 Thessalonians 3:8, if ye stand fast in the Lord. It's talking about the remnant. 1 Thessalonians 4:1, ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and please God. I think we get the idea sometimes that all these sermons are preached at those guys over there that are apostate. No, they're preached to the remnant because we need to be concerned. Of course, there's anarchy in the world and there's apostasy in the churches, but we need to be concerned in our group that if we're going to be part of this remnant that will stand true to God. Our concern is apathy, which is a lack of interest, enthusiasm, or concern for the things of God. To have an interest is the state of wanting to know or learn about something or someone. It seems like we just kind of give up on that. And then a lack of interest or enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is an intense and eager enjoyment or an interest in something. And a concern is having the specific connection with our responsibility that God has given us to do things in this age of apostasy. Well, in 1 Thessalonians 5:2, Paul said, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, when they know something, it's talking about discernment. How can I have discernment? Way back in Proverbs 2:1-9, it says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. If, he said, thou receive his words, if we cry after knowledge, if we seek her as silver and search for her as hid treasure, then thou shalt understand. A whole lot more to it than going to a service two or three times a week. Much more to it than that. If we're going to know what the Lord would have us to know as Christians.
By and by, when I look on his face, beautiful face, born shadowed face, by and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him. Before. His face, I'll wish I.